I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello.
Welcome back to Old Millennials, a deep dive on shallow topics from the 90s and 2000s. I am one of your hosts, Emily Bajin.
And I'm your other host, Margot Bupard.
Well, we are coming back to Love is Blind. And once again, as we've proven time and time again.
Which is not the 90s or the 2000s.
Tis not of the 90s or 2000s. And tis not blind, in fact. As we've proven
I don't know how many
season.
More seasons we've got to go through this. But like we have been it's been proven time and again that love is not fucking blind. Like it might be for one or two people, but it's not for everybody. And this season more than ever, like the way that people describe themselves, I'm still irked by it.
I mean, I feel like,
we don't have enough time to get to, tread back into this because we talked about this at length in our last episode about how not love is blind. But I also want to say love may or may not be blind, but love is different when you have to go through day-to-day life together. So as much
it's
as you may
true.
Click with a stranger through a pod, I feel like – I think – Chelsea is a really great example of like, it's like one of those, you know what that saying is, like she interviews well, but then once she gets in the room, you're like, who the fuck is this Tasmanian devil going around? And then the mere fact that she just is like, me? And it's like, she is, as RuPaul would say, inner saboteur, like at every turn, because there are so many times where you just want to root for her, but you're like, Chelsea girl, you got to get her own fucking way.
I mean, it got to the point, I think, with Chelsea, ultimately for her, it's just I really want to hope that it's a bad edit. Like, I want
to. Oh, my God. Stop
but
it.
I don't.
Stop it.
But I don't think.
That doesn't. Think that's not
it
true.
It can't be.
As I've said many times before, when it comes to reality TV, they can't edit you with footage they don't fucking have. You know what I mean? Like, they might have, like, put in more footage of Kenneth looking at his phone, but he did that shit a lot, or else they
wouldn't keep putting it in there.
You know what I mean?
They put a magnifying glass on a trait or characteristic that is already present.
So you can't have a bad edit with footage that doesn't exist. So I just –
very true.
I'm sick of this narrative.
So as we've done in the past for our recaps, first off, I just want to clarify, we are recapping episodes, I believe it was like 10 to 11 from a week ago, and then we're recapping episode 12, the finale that aired this past Wednesday. So we are recapping three episodes, and as we've done it before, we go couple by couple. And so, as you know, we left episode 9 with Kenneth and Brittany out. And Jeremy and Laura, while not 100% out, were not in a good place. And so we figure, I mean, it was pretty much donezo, but like, you know, we still have to talk about them.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I think you and I didn't go back and listen to what our predictions were exactly, but I don't think that we were optimistic.
No, we certainly weren't.
As usual, I think we were more optimistic than like we should have been.
These people deserved.
Exactly. Thank you. I feel like I cannot believe the breakdown on the math for this season, if we can just quickly talk about it. Like, we left the pods, and obviously you've watched, hopefully you've watched the finale by now because we are going to be talking spoilers, but we left the pods with 5 engaged couples. Then, like you said, Kenneth and Brittany down. And so we were left with 4 engaged couples, and then Jeremy and Laura down, but then like Sub and Sarah Ann, but they're not getting engaged. Okay. So Then we've got the final 3. Yes. And the final 3 all go like tux and wedding shopping. And between tux and wedding shopping and the wedding day, we get down to 2 couples.
Yes.
And then out of those 2 couples, only one says yes. Like, these are terrible. It was bachelor level odds.
It was like an episode of Legends of the Hidden Temple where like it gets smaller and smaller to the final, you know, till the final obstacle course and you're down to 2 people. Like, but hopefully no temple guards in this wedding.
It's almost like a disaster movie where you're trying to outrun the whatever that's coming for you, and people are the boulder, like fucking flies all around you.
Yes.
And it's just at the end are just 2 of the most normal sweetie pies, and you're like, okay.
I know. All and that's what's so terrible is because of this show, we have been so conditioned to just be like, well, that's great. Love her family. But after that, we're just like, yeah. Fast forward. Because there was just nothing.
I mean, I must confess, I took next to 0 notes about anything that happened with Johnny and Amy because I watched the scene where he got her father's blessing. And then after that, I just started fast forwarding. They're so sweet. I am so happy they found each other.
Very nice.
I do feel like they're very in love. And I frankly don't want to hear about their sex life. That's none of my fucking business. Like,
no.
If he doesn't understand birth control, there is literally Google, call a doctor. Yeah. Like, I don't need to watch a 20-something-year-old man understand birth control. That's not for me. So
for me.
I just want to say that I feel like some of the other couples, even though they didn't make it, were more compelling story-wise. So I think overall it was still a really good season.
It was
season. To what you were saying, like, we're also so used to some toxic couples just saying yes at the altar. Like, I don't know if you saw the pictures for the reunion that they brought back, like, old couples. Fucking Izzy is there by himself like a fucking dweeb.
What a dweeb.
But then that scared ballerina dancer and weird man, they're there. I can't believe those 2 are still married.
Those 2 are still together. And what's interesting is that for the couples that aren't together anymore, a lot of those Love is Blind contestants have gone on to be with like Bachelor contestants, Married at First Sight contestants. Like, I think Giannina from season 1 is with a Bachelorette contender. What was his,
Blake.
Name was?
It's Blake.
With Blake. Yes, Balake, as we call. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
because there were
Blake.
So many Blakes on that fucking season.
There were like multiples. They had to use initials. So it is interesting how the Love is Blind crew has really assimilated themselves into that greater reality universe. And there's been kind of couplings between franchises.
Well, to cast your mind way back, I think there was either like a VH1 or like an MTV Diary where whoever they were following, I think it was following like former America's Next Top Model contestants and how they basically, they all get funneled into like a reality TV community. So there was footage of, I forget which top model, doing karaoke at like Saddle Ranch on Sunset Boulevard with like former Survivor people, with like people from Real World. So like they all end up knowing each other. And I think also like dating reality, even though there are so many iterations, is such a, when you like, it's sort of like the internet. It's like when you zoom out, it's like such a tiny population of people who understand your trauma in a special way that you just gravitate towards each other.
It makes a lot of sense in many cases, you know, even if they film the show in one city, a lot of them gravitate towards moving to LA eventually. Yeah. It makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's almost like a natural dating, friendship, social pool, because to your point, they've all been through the same thing. They understand where you're coming from. And oftentimes they understand like how you are, your sources of income come through that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times it's cameos and SponCon and stuff. So they're going to understand the lifestyle that you're, you know, aspiring to and that you're currently living. So yeah, I totally agree.
It's an industry at this point. And so they're networking. And sometimes you network with people that you end up dating. So it's
truly
not super surprising.
It's so,
if you stick around long enough, you know, I feel like, anyway,
it's just like any other industry happy hour. Yeah.
You're not wrong, except it's just like a lot of people that have like ring lights attached to their phone instead of, exactly. I don't know, like people and in windbreakers.
And have to have a spare battery on hand at all times because
or their phone one is of their those livelihood. Big block chargers or whatever.
Yes, 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 yes. So let's start with Jeremy and Laura and just kind of, you know, give them the jet ski send off that Jeremy deserves because that's
I'm not doing anything Jeremy wants. That man sucks. What a fucking freak. I really can't wait to see him get eaten alive at this fucking reunion.
He's going to get eaten alive and so will fucking Sarah Ann. So like I got to hand it to – this is where I really love Laura and AD. And AD showing up like a girl's girl and just being the best as per usual and really calling – Sarah Ann out by asking questions, no less, not trying to accuse her or anything, but really just going in, asking the questions, confirming, and really putting Sarah Ann in this light that she deserves to be in at this party. So as just as
I think that AD understands that she doesn't need to do anything to make Sarah Ann look bad. But I also think she went into it wanting to believe the best of her and that she didn't do some sneak shit. But yeah. all Sarah Ann did was double down, which is
double
kind of makes
down.
Sense why her and Jeremy are together. They're just two little double downers on their bad behavior.
Such bad behavior. And what's interesting is like, because I spend a lot of time on Reels and TikTok, there is really one funny video, which is one woman saying that like ultimately in that conversation, we see AD kind of give Sarah an opportunity, but also show up as a girl's girl for her friend Laura. Meanwhile, Sarah Ann revokes her girl's girl card for this jet skiing dweeb. Like, let's talk about that. That it is one thing to clarify and confirm to everyone out there that you're a pick me and not a girl's girl. But when you are doing it for like a dweeb, like Jeremy, Mr. When you profess that your feelings for him, let's watch the world burn together. And this man's just like, let's go get on some jet skis. Like that.
I mean,
that,
I think
that.
I know that this is an overused phrase, but they really did Laura a favor. Like that guy is smarmy as fuck. I hope they really read him down about him coming on with like a fresh ex-fiance who also has been talking shit about him all over the place. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to go back to the beginning, I think it's the way his own mother looks at him when he tries to justify.
Oh, my God.
Talking to an ex till five, like, and let's put talking in like quotes here. Talking to an ex till 5 o'clock in the morning and then being incensed that his fiance, not girlfriend, fiance is upset by that. I mean, his mom said it all when she said, I would have done way worse. She was being nice to you. And if I don't know if you read this yet, Emily, but his ex-fiance that he left before he came on the show, she's airing him out. He apparently cheated on her in the exact same way that he cheated on Laura. And she's like, that's why I know he actually cheated and he's full of shit. He shared his Snapchat location with her in the exact same way. Downplay it just like he did to Laura. I mean, like, the fact that this man has, like, a pattern that's so bright as day is crazy. Like you said, this dweeb thinks he has game?
Yes. No.
I wish he would have fallen off that jet ski and drowned in that fucking lake. Fuck you.
I think it is hilarious that a man pulled this kind of shit in the past and then continued this pattern, but decided I should be on a streaming platform TV show that the entire English-speaking world is going to watch and really show people. And so then my ex-fiance is going to come out of the woodwork and tell everyone, guess what? That's not a one-time thing, baby. That is a pattern. I mean, this dork, like,
how
really
narcissists – this is genuinely how a narcissist works, though. Like, they don't think – they think everybody's so stupid and they think that like they can get away with whatever. Like I bet he thinks he could get away with murder. Like he thinks he's that smart. He thinks he's that slick and he thinks he's that convincing and charming.
But I got to hand it to the mom though, like to your point, you know, it reminded me of, remember Shake and Deep T, and like Deep T went to go meet Shake's parents. And at that point, Shake's mom called him out on his own bullshit about what he will do normally when he dates other women. And that is like, it tells you everything when the mother of a boy on a TV show is calling out their son, because this is a perfect, like, opportunity to see like total mama's boys show up and have mothers who like will continue to enable that really, really toxic behavior. But if your own mother is calling you out on television, that's not a good look. That tells us everything. I just really hope that those two little losers, Sarah Ann and Jeremy, make it, because two horrible people cancel each other out in this world in that case.
They truly should just take each other off the market and just do us all a favor. They shouldn't be with anyone else. They're both bad.
No.
And I don't know. Of course, like someone like Sarah Ann's going to think that she like won, but you didn't win anything.
What did you win? What did you win? This Hawaiian shirt, like collecting loser.
I don't know. But it was absolutely deranged that she showed up to the party on purpose to rub it in Laura's face.
Yes.
I mean, I also thought like, see, again, I fucking hate that I have to like side with Jimmy. But even Jimmy, when he was talking to Jeremy about like what happened between him and Laura, and he and then Jeremy sees, I think, Trevor or whatever walk in, and Jeremy turns to Johnny. He's like, I don't want any part of this. Like, I'm not fucking talking to him about Laura. I'm not doing this. Like, even Jimmy can see you're full of shit. And so And even when Jeremy was talking to Laura, he was so cold, and the way that his main concern was not making other people feel uncomfortable, instead of just saying sorry and then just trying to blame her, like, I tried to call you, I tried to send you flowers. It's like, did you really, though? Did you really try? Or did you just do it to feign trying?
It gave me, you know, the Arrested Development scenes with the Ron Howard voiceover, like, that was not true, or he did not. Like, it felt like that every time he tried to say something, that he had tried to do something. It just felt like Ron Howard was going to come in with the voiceover and say he, in fact, had not.
It was just nuts to me. You know, they have this whole heart-to-heart down on, like, the beachy part of the lake where he just acts like a total shithead. And then Jeremy goes and has, like, this deep heart-to-heart with Sarah Ann where they both try to, like, make it seem like, oh, we're just, like, in love. And, like, this is what people in love do, and just trying to justify everything. And then the cherry on top is them looking like two fucking psychos, the only ones jet skiing by themselves, like, laughing while everyone at the party hates them. I really, like you said, they cancel each other out. Like, it was such a sight to behold. It was like watching two trash cans on fire, like just riding jet skis.
Yeah, just like two dumpster fires on jet skis. Like, I hope that, you know, the gasoline lights up on those two and it just, those jet skis explode.
Glad that, you know, AD tried to hold Sarah Ann accountable, because God knows we can't count on the fucking Lachey's to do anything.
No, absolutely
in these
not.
Reunions. And so all it was really satisfying.
Who's going to have a baby? That's all they'll do.
So it was really satisfying to see someone do it. And it was nice to see someone stand up for Laura. It just felt like she just got the shit kicked out of her. Like, I mean, not literally, but like emotionally, like having, it's hard enough that he has to be here. Then this bitch fucking shows up and she's going to be rude, and they're not going to take any accountability. They're going to play you like an idiot. And then they're going to go ride jet skis. Like, I would just be so annoyed.
Oh, I would be over it. I would completely be over it. Well, I'm happy ultimately, though, that those two don't get close to the altar, and ultimately, you know, Jeremy and Sarah Ann jet ski off into the not sunset, whatever you want to call it. Good riddance.
And I know that, you know, this, a lot more happened at this like lake house party, like Jess and Jimmy show up. But I feel like the reason why we didn't even recap the last two episodes is that like it was sort of like a whatever. I don't know.
It was a whatever. I mean, I think the way they did the edit this time around, because what we've come to get used to on this show is you get the wedding gown episodes, you get the bachelorette party episodes. And then we get to the aisle right as we leave on a cliffhanger for that final episode. So this was an interesting way they split out the content this time around. And I don't know if it's because they had more couples to work with and therefore like had to split it out. I don't know what their reasoning for it. But yeah, to your point, what it may end up doing, though, was those two episodes that came out last week were like, yeah, the Jeremy Laura of it all and Sarah Ann is interesting, but like ultimately, to your point, it wasn't big enough for us to have to get on the podcast and recap it this time around.
Right, because I also feel like, you know, the big Jimmy and Chelsea blow up that ultimately has nothing to do with Jessica.
Yeah.
That really leads in nicely to, like, the finale, because that finale, like, the beginning of the finale episode, like, the first 10 minutes are, like, the best parts of the episode, I thought.
Best part of the episodes by far.
I thought it was really interesting to watch Jimmy and Chelsea come to terms with the reality that we've all been watching for the last couple of episodes. But is there anything else with Jeremy, Sarah Ann, and Laura that you want to talk about?
No, I'm just curious to see how the reunion's going to go. But I'm kind of going in with the assumption of not great, Bob, because, like, no one is going to be on these people's sides except for themselves. So,
I mean, in the trailer, they're literally on an island by themselves. They're, like, on a completely separate couch on the opposite side of the room, it looks like. I don't know if that was the editing, but that's what it looked like when I watched it. I was like, damn, they're just separated. I'm sure they're, like, scared. They're going to, like, try to throw a bow at them or something.
They're in Siberia. They're in Reality Reunion Siberia. So next couple we should talk about, because you led into them, was Jimmy and Chelsea. So a recap of those two episodes leading into the first 10 minutes of the finale. Jimmy and
Chelsea.
Do you want to
start at the lake house party?
Because
Chelsea meets Trevor. Again, that was not deep of a conversation, although she does throw Jimmy under the bus in front of Trevor. Jimmy meets Jessica. Those are, like, the two big things that happen, but it doesn't amount to much, but it happens.
No, but I will say, here's what I will say about that, though. That party, Jimmy or Chelsea and Trevor have a conversation, and Chelsea admits all these things to Trevor and all that. And I just kept thinking as I watched this happen, I was like, if Jimmy had even said half of the things that she just said to Trevor, Chelsea would have been, you make me feel uncomfortable. Like, it would have just been, she would have been set off at that party. Like, he said remotely half of those things.
Yeah, I said the same thing to you. Like, after we first watched the episode, I was just like, she would freak the fuck out because she's so insecure. And I feel like she can't even take Jimmy not freaking out as, like, a vote of confidence. But honestly, I couldn't hear much of what Trevor was saying because something happened. Like, he had an allergic reaction to, like, a hat or something. Like, he had that huge rash at, like, his hairline. And because he had shorter non-mullet hair, it was hard to not pay attention to it.
I was focusing. It was,
right? I was just like, what's going on? Anyway, I thought that, you know, Chelsea also threw Jimmy under the bus to him because she was like, oh, everything's great, except, you know, hey, like, I got martini drunk and called him out for, like, not giving me enough kisses. And you're like, okay.
Oh my God, here we go again.
Exactly. Don't complain or whatever to your ostensibly your ex about your fiance. Like, again, like we were saying, she'd be so pissed if the shoe were on the other foot. And I'm surprised she didn't freak out over him talking to Jessica separate from the group. Like, because they were down, like, on the shore on some random chairs. But, you know, I don't know. Their whole conversation was sort of like, all right, I'm glad you guys got closure.
Ultimately, yeah, there was nothing. It was so anticlimactic. Like, they had the conversation that so many of those, you know, what if couples on Love is Blind have at this party situation where it's
it wasn't
like,
inappropriate like some of the other ones we've seen, especially like on The Ultimatum.
Oh my God. Right. It was completely normal, completely understandable. And it gave them the closure, at least in that moment. So I thought it was fine. There was nothing really else to report back about that party. But of course, what ends up happening is yet another evening in which we get to see Jimmy and Chelsea fight. And Jimmy admits what we've all been talking about for a while, which is, yes, he has, in fact, had sex with his friend in the past.
I mean, duh. I also wouldn't be surprised if it's both of them. I wouldn't be surprised either. But the main difference is that Chelsea screeches that at him on camera.
Yes.
And he told it to her off camera. In confidence to, like, protect his friend's, like, reputation or whatever. Like, she's,
which,
like, doesn't want to be. I think it was nice. That was
nice. It was a very nice thing to do. Like, it's not, it's two people. It takes two people to have sex. It's, like, it's not his story to tell on national television.
And all, and this is, and honestly, this kind of goes with what I really think about Chelsea. I think that some things, especially some of the things that she brought up in this conversation, I think if she wasn't, you know, Dorinda Martini'd out. She would have had the wherewithal to perhaps explain this in a less emotionally charged manner. But like, okay, being uncomfy with his friend, like texting them all the time, like I think eventually you could get used to it. But if you have like a normally toned conversation about like, hey, because we're so new and I'm like, you know, going through it or trying to adjust, like, could you just like walk me through why you talk to this girl all the time that you fucked before? Like, you don't have to do it on camera, do it off camera. Like, some of the things that she accused of him, I just find to be absolutely insane. Like, being upset that he went out for a drink and was gone for an hour and a half. Like, I don't, who would want to live with someone like that? Like, someone that like deliberately keeps tabs on you and he didn't do anything and then making shit up like, oh, Jessica was there. I know it. I mean, I find all of that to just be so that I don't know how you reason with someone like that. And the fact that she's doing it like so many times in a row in such a short period of time, like what did she think was going to happen?
So my my big problem with Chelsea, because this goes back to the Trevor, you know, having that conversation at the lake party and all that. Again, this is one of those things. So she's like always talking about how like, oh, you don't kiss me enough and you're never here and you left the house for an hour and a half. You are a flight attendant, ma'am. Is it your job to be out of the house like 75% of the time or whatever? So if you're giving this man this fucking double standard where he can't leave this house, this hostage situation for an hour and a half to go have a drink. Situation. And I don't want to be that woman who does that about a woman. Like, I hate the ball and chain or whatever. But like in this case, I'm making an exception because
if the shoe fits, Emily, put it on, you know,
put it on. And I think that is exactly it. Time and time again, she holds Jimmy to the standard where he has to be at her beck and call. He has to be present at all times. He has to show affection at all times. And it's like, guess what? He has a job. He has to make money. And he had friends before he met you. And guess what? He had a life. Like, there's just so many things that come up. And what's unfortunate is like, you know, clearly we've all seen the demise of this relationship as it's progressed over time. But there were these kind of nice moments where we met like Jimmy's parents and their family. And it just seemed like maybe a slight glimmer of hope. I had just like a little moment because I was like, that seems nice. He seems like he's from a good family. Like, it felt
He seems super sincere about all of the things that he said to his parents. But to what you were saying earlier about how, like, she demands, like, his undivided attention and constant affection and constant reassurance, like, she is literally setting him up to fail. She is not giving she's actually the one that's not giving this relationship a chance by putting all of this unrealistic pressure. Like, I know the cameras must play a trick on you, but she's been in a relationship before. She's been in a long-term relationship before. She knows that you're just like
she's not married.
Exactly. And I know she was young, but like, you know, you're not just like together all the time, together. But like, I think that she just has had so much, I don't know, I wouldn't say past trauma, but like, she's been cheated on and she's having a really hard time trusting him instead of, you know, going within and kind of being like more open. In open communication with him, she turns it into an argument. And I think for Jimmy, when she told him, I don't think that you love me, multiple times during that you fucked her argument, the day that he introduced her to his family, I think he came back only because a producer literally begged him to come back. Yes. But I think he was done after that. And I don't blame him. I cannot believe him siding with him. But I mean,
I know.
If you weaponize something I told you in confidence on camera to hurt me or do some sort of gotcha bullshit to me, we are fucking done. I don't know how you come back from something like that. And then weaponize our love and say that you don't love me so that you can get a rise out of me. You can even see towards the end of the argument when he's like, I'm going to go. She realizes she took it too far. She's like, no, come on. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Yes.
I was like, that's fucked up, dude. Like, this is not Real Housewives. You're not like fighting with Lisa Rinna. Like, this is supposed to be somebody that you're going to marry.
You're gonna get married. You're supposed to marry this person. And I think this is ultimately Chelsea's downfall is that she takes everything too far and she expects perfection out of someone that no one is ever going to give her. And so from the get-go, she's self-sabotaging because she knows that this person can never give her all of that because she would be too worried to like have to keep it kind of chill like a regular situation and actually go through and marry this guy because it is more painful for her to continue to let this man be who he is, which has been, for the most part, nothing but like a decent guy. And I hate to really side with Jimmy because it pains me.
On International Women's Day, we are really beside ourselves with anger that we have to defend a white guy. But like,
yes,
unfortunately, that's just where we're at. Like, Chelsea just acted in such a way where, although I can see where she's coming from, the way that it just ended up playing out, it was truly painful to watch him just be chased around this house by this woman that's just like yelling at him instead of just like letting it sit. Just leave it alone. And like you said, pushing, self-sabotage like the whole way. And I think even he can see that's what she's doing, but I don't think that she understands how much her words cut deep.
Yes.
And can hurt people.
Yeah, because she is so used to being the one who's hurt that she cannot see that she, in this case, is the one who's doing the hurting.
Yes.
And ultimately, in a fatal way that results in them ending things in a fucking amusement park.
Okay, well, yeah. Do you have any comments about the dress shopping? I guess it sort of doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, look, her dress was fine. It was not that exciting. I mean, like, I've just never liked what she wears in general, though. That's just me. I ultimately, like I've said, like, she is someone who she does not really look like Megan Fox, but I think the biggest thing is just like I never really liked personally what she wore. Like she's a pretty woman. And like, I just think she didn't do herself any favors. I guess she makes it to the wedding dress shopping only for this, like the final one-on-one date, which has become a bigger thing I've noticed over the seasons. They do that final, like, let's rent out the hangar or like amusement park.
Last season with Lydia and Milton when they went to that like geode museum and had dinner in there and had a really uncomfortable conversation among a bunch of rocks. Like, that was so wild. But yes, they closed. Well, first they went and like made an ice sculpture for their wedding, apparently. Because didn't they use like a chainsaw? Am I making that up?
They did.
Like an axe?
Yes.
Okay, they used
And it's like this montage leads us to believe like, oh, we've never been more in love and all this stuff. But I think to your point, Jimmy kind of already knew. It's just a producer was begging in the background.
I think a producer said, like, please come back. You don't have to, if you don't want to make it to the altar, but just like, give her a second chance. Like, just get through a couple more days. Like, we're begging
you. We need
footage. Because I don't think you love me fight was right before the lake day, and then I think there was one more fight. So like the absolute audacity of this woman to be like, one fight, you're like, bitch, it was more than one fight. Like
every day
I was begging for a Bravo producer to just like bust in there and edit a fucking quick montage of every argument starting from the DR,
add a sepia filter to a super cut of every fight that they've been through on this show.
Give it to me, because I'm like, because I was like, yeah, it was at least three, and then I think I texted you like it was at least six. I was like, okay.
Insane. But
yeah,
as
so
you know,
they do an ice sculpture. They're going you can tell Jimmy's going through the motions, except I mean he has pure delight and joy on his face when he's in this amusement park, and I'm glad Jimmy got to do, maybe he was like, I'll go back if you rent out an amusement park for
me. It's like the list of demands. It's like the J-Lo waiver, right? Like the writer, like
His
bowl of all green M&Ms is, I want this amusement park for my child.
And I want to handle a chainsaw like in a cool way. I'll go try on tuxes, but I'm not bringing anyone them close to.
Speaking of that scene, though, and in general, I am relieved that over the years, the Lachey's have taken a step back, and it's really only the beginning of the show, the set the scene to come back to the city where they all live, and then the wedding dress, wedding gown and tux shopping. It's only those times when we really see them, and then the reunion, obviously. But like, I appreciate that they are not as much of a focal point as they were in those kind of earlier seasons.
Yeah, I don't know. It's more like a jump scare now. You're like, fuck, they're here. Oh,
there's Nick Lachey with a cigar and a glass of whiskey.
Get down.
Let's go tux shopping.
Oh my God, I can't with them. But yeah, so they're at this empty amusement park. They're having dinner. Like you said, I feel like there's a lot more built up around these like last dinners now, especially this one.
Yes.
And they, especially for like the problem couples, if you will, because I did AD and Clay have a last. Oh, yes, they did have a last date.
They did. They did have a last date.
So they're sitting around and Jimmy asks Chelsea, so, you know, I haven't gotten a beat on like how, if you're going to say yes tomorrow and all, because, or yeah, at the wedding, I think it's like 2 days because like there's the bachelorette party, the bachelor party,
yes,
and then it's the wedding. So in two
tight
days.
Schedule. I don't know about you. I'd be over. I'd be in bed.
I told you I wouldn't survive the first 15-hour day of talking. Like you just wouldn't see me again. That's too much talking.
It's way too much talking.
15 hours? Oh, no.
Way too much.
I need to be alone and in the dark after that. But anyway, so they are 2 days away from the wedding. Jimmy doesn't know if she's going to say yes. He asks her. And she kind of like takes a dramatic pause. And she's like, yeah, I think so. You know, we can have fun together. And then we've gone through all the hard stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, what about you, Jimmy? And he goops the fuck out of this bitch. And he says, I'm not going to make it to the altar, which I don't know if you, it honestly sent me back to, I don't know if you remember when they did the Love is Blind reveal and Jimmy, one of the first things he says to her, unfortunately, is I almost went home today. I feel like that was foreshadowing because he's like, and he's now in a different position. He's like, I'm not making it to the altar.
Yeah.
And she acts pretty much exactly how you would assume she's shown us how she would act. But, you know, like we were saying earlier, she just gets really hung up on the thing. Like, it was one fight. And he keeps trying to express himself and keeps trying to tell her. But she keeps, like, twisting it and making it about what it's not about and saying, like, I forgave you for calling me clingy. It's like as if that's the same thing as outing a secret he didn't want to have made public. That implicates one of his friends who's not on this fucking show.
Well, and I just think for a woman who makes such a big deal about building a relationship on trust because she's been deceived so many times in the past by previous relationships, when you make such a big deal about that only to be the one who is the one who breaks that circle of trust, like that line of trust with your partner, that to me is the worst. I think whenever someone puts a huge emphasis on something only for them to be the one who commits that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Or whatever you want to call it, for lack of a better term. That, to me, is like the ultimate worst.
So they break up. They're not getting married.
No.
Chelsea runs off like Tina Belcher to cry near a roller coaster. You know,
that's unkind to Tina Belcher, but yes.
I mean, I feel like that's a nicer comparison that she gives herself. She calls herself like a T-Rex. I'm like, well, talk nice about yourself. What are you doing?
I know.
Anyway,
I know.
But I forgot to mention another thing that really stuck out to me when Jimmy was trying to end things and she kept trying to argue and push the point and be like, we're doing great, like blah, blah, blah. And she's not listening to him at all and she's not trying to see a reason. He's like, you're just reinforcing the reason why I don't think I should go through with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told you this, but, you know, I wish that Clay would have done AD this same service because in the end – I think that, yes, that must hurt. Breakups suck. You thought you were going to get married. It must be, like, embarrassing on some level to then tell family, like, oh, we're not doing it anymore. On both of their parts, you know?
On both
but
their parts.
But it's better than being completely blindsided in front of a giant group of people and a camera crew. And then And then you're forced to have a prolonged conversation. If you're going to have a prolonged conversation with a man who's trying to justify their actions, like, at least do it in private, you know, or like he can just embarrass himself like solo dolo instead of like what Clay did. But well, yeah, again, on International Women's Day, it genuinely pains me to say I really respect the way that Jimmy handled this entire experiment.
I was about to say the same thing every time. I think we, in many ways, stereotyped Jimmy immediately. Clocked him, clocked the accent.
As human bender.
As human bender. Oh, he's Southern white boy. Like, all this stuff. Like, mm-hmm. we thought, you know, we had this whole thing, you know, drawn up in our heads of what to expect out of this man. And every time, I gotta say, in the shittiest of situations, he was for the most part a pleasant surprise. The way he reacted under those circumstances, I can't really ask much better out of someone. Like, I hate to say it, it pains me.
When we're right, we're really right, and when we're wrong, we're brave enough to say, you know what?
That's right.
You got this wrong. And
That's true. Women can be complicated beings and we can be flawed. And this is us, you know, flawed characters.
This is us. And yeah, happy to be like, that guy, not so bad, you know, could be worse.
Yeah. Meanwhile, someone.
Oh, Lord.
Brownie points. I had, you know, we felt so much sympathy. We started this empathy. I mean, it didn't feel 100% right, but it was like.
I think I still feel like two things can be true. I think I am really disappointed in Clay, but I also really feel bad for him. I feel like meeting his dad really showed.
Oh my God.
Showed me a lot. Genuinely think in my heart of hearts, like, I think that he was 60-40 going into the wedding, like 60 no, 40 yes. But I think if his dad went in there and just said, like, look, Clay, you're not my mistakes. I'm sorry I did this to you. I cheated on your mom, but that was on me. That was something wrong with me. That's nothing wrong with her. Like, I loved her the whole time. I think Clay, because you can see how sad and deflated he is after his dad leaves.
Yes.
I think he really, really wanted his dad to say the thing, and he didn't say the thing. And I think it rattled the shit out of him.
It really did.
I can't do this. Cheating is hereditary. I gotta go. Like, I think it activated his flight mode. And, you know, I don't want to blame Clay's dad totally because Clay's an adult, but I think it played a bigger part.
I think it played a huge part.
Our gut instinct was, because initially, our like first reaction to it was like, fuck this guy. Like, I can't believe he did AD like this. But I think with some time away from the show, I genuinely do feel kind of bad for Clay.
Well, I do to an extent. And I think to your point.
Yes, not like not because he dumped AD, but I mean like seeing his interaction with his dad was like,
oh, it's awful. Oh my God.
This all like makes sense now.
I was messaging with Sarah Rainey about this because we were talking about it. And I said, that man, the way that man talked to his son, it was as if an AI had been fed 1,000 hours of Friday Night Lights, you know, coach speeches.
Yes.
And this is what it came out with. Like, that's truly, it was like, we're going to feed this AI thousands of hours of Friday Night Lights speeches, School of Hard Knocks speeches, of Rudy, like Hoosiers, every sports movie, every sports reality show. And this is what AI is going to spit out. And it's going to be Clay's dad's motivational speech, if that's what you want to call it.
That's exactly why it bummed me out so bad. He went in there and talked to him like a coach and not a son. Because I thought that even Clay's reaction when he was like, oh, I'm used to big stages, is like, at your wedding?
What? At your wedding?
This
is not the track. This is not the track.
I mean, I have a lot of other problems with what went down at this wedding. But like, I really felt bad for him in that moment because I think he needed a dad and his dad keeps telling him what a good dad he is instead of actually being a good dad. So that was tough stuff. But I mean, like, I think from the other episodes, the biggest thing that I want to go back to revisit before we talk about the wedding in total, I mean, we kind of already have talked about it a lot, but the thing of it is that Clay did try to tell AD.
He did.
Bitched out because they have a conversation in the kitchen at some point a couple days before the wedding, And essentially he tells her, like, I love you. I don't know if I'm ready for marriage. Why do we need to why do we have to play by like the show's rules? Can't we just date? And AD makes it very clear, if he says no at the altar, like, she came here to do this experiment all the way through. She doesn't half-ass shit. And if he says no at the altar, like, it's done. And you can tell in that moment that he was really trying to just be like, because, like, what if we just, like, date or whatever? But he, instead of finding the words or, like, buying the bullet or whatever,
say what he needed at that moment.
And I think that's why she was so blindsided, because she's like, okay, the way I see the situation is he just needs constant reassurance. And so she does give him that, but it's not enough to overcome, like, I think this process really, like, fucked him up. Like, he realized how much stuff he was carrying and how much more work he had to do. Because he says something really sad in their one of the last talks that they have, where he's like, it doesn't feel good to, like, look in the mirror and, like, know I did this. I'm like, oh, my God. This guy needs therapy, like, ASAP. I mean, and we said this at the beginning of the season. Some of these people don't need to be on Love is Blind. They need to be in I Love My Therapist's chair. Like, that's what they need to be doing.
I think you're 100% right. Like, that part of Clay's, among many other things, when you don't have someone in your life who's ever been direct with you and stuff, like,
oh, my God,
right? Never been direct about showing love. I can imagine then it would be very hard to then be direct and communicative with the person who's about to be your wife, because you've never seen, among having a cheating dad as your father, you also had a man in front of you who could never have a direct, honest conversation with your own mom. And so naturally, you think you're doing the right thing by kind of getting around this instead of really expressing, communicating what you need at that point. And as a result, because Clay cannot do that, we end up in this situation in a really highly escalated place where he finally is direct about what he needs. And at that point, it is just the wrong time. And I think he loved AD so much that I think because he knew the only way he was going to be able to have her and, like, continue to be with her was on this level as her husband, that he really thought he'd be able to get there. Like, I think he truly thought he could somehow in those few days after that conversation get there. And it just, yeah, once we met his dad, I just could, I mean, it was just like everything else continued to make more sense than it already had. And I knew he meant he had mentioned in the past that he had seen things his mom didn't even know about, and he had kept those secrets for his dad. But to realize the real life of it all, where, like, his mom even admits that, like, as this has been progressing, I've been learning things for the first time. I could not imagine having a show be focused on my child only for me to find out about the secrets of my marriage that occurred decades ago. Like, even if I'm divorced from this man, like, I just can't.
It doesn't matter. You feel that hurt all over again, as if you were just married, as if it just happened, you know? And I cannot imagine the level of anger that I would feel if I found out that my shit-ass, cheating, scumbag ex-husband brought our minor son on his extramarital affair weekends.
Yes.
I would hit him with my car immediately.
He wouldn't be allowed at the wedding. He wouldn't be – I would be like – I mean, I don't want to pull like what happened at Candace's wedding on Housewives of Potomac, but, like, you know, like, there's a little bit of like, this
you
is...
would, you would, like, flash like a dinner fork and throw it at him. I gave him a beverage.
No, but I was also thinking about, like, Candace's mom at her own wedding, like, not being happy that, like, her half-brother was there. But I will say the difference there was that it sounds like Candace's dad was a good father, even if he was a terrible, you know, husband, he was a good father. And in this case, like, Clay's dad, if you're bringing your son along to your side piece trips, like, you're not a good dad.
It was, I mean, no, I feel like that alone, because Clay keeps just saying, leading up to meeting his dad, he kept saying, like, oh, he's a good dad. I was like, everything you've told me makes me feel like maybe he's not. And then this man has the utter audacity to tell his ex-wife that he cheated on for almost the entirety of their marriage. Well, Clay just needs to meet somebody like you. She's like, why? You didn't treat me well? Like, what are you talking about, sir? Have you lost your entire mind? I mean, you want to talk about gooped someone a bit? Like, she also got his ass. Like, you could see he was, like, shocked. Like, Kat got his little suave tongue in that moment, because he was not... he was really taken aback. And then the way that Rita like opened up her fucking fan in his face was like, that's right. You tell that man he's bad.
Rita and 80s mom are like my favorite people.
I mean, I have to believe because Rita stood up and like hugged AD and then hugged AD's mom. I'm like, I have to believe that the three of them go out and get drinks and talk shit about Clay together. Like, I don't know.
I think I have to
believe that. That's my happy ending.
Me too. And I think that Rita, in that moment when she is talking to her ex-husband, Clay's dad, she is holding, it's like 50% anger and 50% sadness. It is
of course
anger over her ex-husband, but the sadness to see that some of her ex's traits have seeped so deeply and traumatized her son so badly that he can't even accept healthy love in his life. And that is so heartbreaking. Like, I cannot imagine as a mother, as an ex-wife, to like witness those two emotions at the same time. Like, I'm getting emotional. It's Pisces season, but like, I'm just getting a little emotional thinking about that. Like, I cannot imagine what it would feel like to witness those two things at the same time or experiencing them.
But it also really sucked because she has enough kindness and, you know, this word is so overused, like grace or whatever, to even tell him exactly what to do to fix things with his yes. son. Go in there and apologize. Yes. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yes.
Don't
make excuses. A step by step.
And then this man again turns around and is like, but I never had a good father. It's like, did you just hear what she said? Did you listen at all?
Get your listening ears. That's why we go to therapy.
Get your listening ears on. Turn them on and then tune them in and listen to your ex-wife who is doing you such a solid that you don't fucking deserve on any plane. That, I mean,
she is giving you an opportunity to look like a hero.
You are truly looking a gift horse in the mouth. Like, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? Like, especially if you don't, it's one thing if you're like, I'm never going to do that. But then just don't say anything. Just be like,
don't say.
Just shut up. But this band is incapable of shutting the fuck up. And again, I feel like, you know, I think therapy is going to really work for Clay because, you know, a big thing that I got out of therapy at a, you know, younger age than Clay, no offense to Clay, is that like, I also didn't have a ton of examples either about like what a solid relationship is, but like therapists will get you there. We'll help you find it. We'll help you figure out, you know, what does a healthy relationship look like to you? And then you will see it in other people that are not fucking Diddy or Will Smith or your philandering ass father. And I think he will be a better person, but I feel bad. But I feel like I think AD said it perfectly, which is like, yeah, of course you're like, you used me to become a better person. And you didn't even commit to me all the way in the ways that we kept talking about and I kept reassuring you about.
Yeah. To your final point about the therapy thing, I mean, I always think about what Mary said to me once, which was, you do therapy not just to like, you know, correct what happened in your own life and to face that and to like, you know, get closure around that, but so that you don't put that what happened to you in the past on others, your loved ones.
Exactly.
And so that for me was just like seeing Clay's dad and then Clay, I really, truly hope Clay comes to this reunion and tells us that he's been in therapy for the past year. Like that's really the best case scenario in this.
Yeah. I mean, also, let's just quickly talk about their vows because that's when I knew it was going to be a no.
Oh my God.
And this was going to work out. And also to what we were talking about earlier, Clay not being able to communicate or like have a real conversation. The
vulnerability.
Yes. He's scared of vulnerability because he talks
okay,
in
body.
He talks in Instagram captions. Yes. He says, okay, body. Then AD says, look at the material. And then he says, you got that shit on. I screamed. And then she said, period. And I was like, am I watching a TikTok? What is happening?
So these you are just not how you start. Gen Z. It's this a Gen Z one.
They're not even fucking Gen Z. Are you fucking kidding me? They're in their 30s.
I know.
Emily, if you told me a man said that to you on a date,
What did I tell you my text message? I'd say you have permission to beat his ass if I don't beat his ass.
You can't. I mean, could you imagine if at my wedding,
I know,
at any of the weddings that we all went to in 2018, I mean, if Todd was like, oh, you got that shit on.
Yeah. For context listeners, Margot had a lovely wedding and Sean, her husband, was nothing but a true gentleman and a wonderful person. And there was no okay bodies to be said by anyone in that area.
No, I was just laughing at the idea of Todd saying that. I mean, like, we would all be like, what's wrong with Todd? Is he having a stroke? It's because it's too hot out here. That was just such a wild exchange. I was just like, what? These are not serious people. You guys aren't getting married. No, y'all can't even like each other a real compliment.
It just reminded me a little bit of the scene in the movie Grease when like John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, like Rizzo surprises them and they didn't realize they go to the same high school, and like all of a sudden John Travolta realizes who's around him, like the T-Bird. So he's like, "Ah, baby, it's okay. It's all right. We're just rocking in or rolling." Like that is exactly like how Clay played that out. It was as if he was going to maybe say something nice, maybe just say something vulnerable. And then he immediately realized everyone was around him, including his father. And then it was, okay, buddy.
You got that shit on. I was like, this is embarrassing for everyone involved. And then to make things worse, he brought back our least favorite fucking phrase when he tried to let Clay tried to let AD down. He's like, "I'm still rocking with you." I was like, "Please
no,
please do not dump me in front of my family. The way to the curb.
She's not taking you back.
Do not dump me from my family by saying you're still rocking with me." I would throw up. Like I'd throw up out of anger and confusion. I mean, I felt so bad for AD, and in that moment, I was like, and that's why he should have pulled a Jimmy. Like, don't get her. She looked beautiful, even though her dress did in the cold light of day did give me a little Fashion Nova. Just saying, but looked great on her. Makeup looked lovely. Like her bridesmaids, her nieces, so cute. Like her.
Oh, I love her family. I mean, so lovely. Sister, everybody, so lovely. Her mom again. I'm just, oh God, I love her so much.
I was also after shocked 80, that she's one of seven. Though I texted you that. She's one of seven. Yes.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. But you just see like all this love around her, and she really does have like the way people, all of her friends and family supported her after what happened. And they, you know, just reminded her over and over again, like she has so much love to give. And the fact that she is so hurt by this person and like felt so much for this wrong person for her, that she's going to only be, it's only going to be better with like, with, you know, the right person. I didn't phrase that correctly, but you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean, because she even says, you know, in like her after the aisle interview where she's like, you know, I'm never chosen. It's never enough. Like, what do I need to do? And it's like, you don't need to do anything. I mean, other than stop picking these men who aren't at your level. You need to find someone that's your equal or higher. Like when she called Clay a powerful man, I was like, when? Like, not like, I don't know. I just felt, I was like, he's kind of like a sweet little dweeb. Like, I don't really, and he's kind of like a scared little boy. I didn't really get powerful man.
But I think as much as we love AD, I just don't think she sees in herself what everyone else on the show and her friends and family see in her, because she constantly refers to Clay as being incredibly attractive. Like, Clay's an attractive guy. Do not get me wrong. Like, he's got a great body. He's hot, like, attractive man, great face, all that. But like, AD, like, you know, this is your, it's not like it is.
I mean, let's let's call a spade, like AD was an NFL cheerleader. Hello? Hot and smart and kind and funny and a good person, like stands up for her friends. Clay, like, I think that
Clay was punching above his weight class. Like,
I think he fucking knew that too. Yeah. And I think what is so sad is that, not sad, but like sad for AD, because she sees it, but like she falls in love with potential. Like, that's also the only way I can explain her connection with Matthew, is like she sees potential, and she even calls herself like a Captain Save-A-Ho. And even though exactly. Even though I think that's really funny, she just doesn't need a project man anymore. She needs like a man that's got it, that's already in therapy, or at least has signed up for like a BetterHelp online account. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that Clay is here, like he knows he needs to get therapy, and yet he did zero steps to like start that. I know that it's a tight turnaround, you got work or whatever, but again, BetterHelp always got, like, they've got a discount code on all sorts of podcasts. Got to start somewhere. Like, at least start, like, looking within. I don't know.
Listen, if I'm the Love is Blind producers, I'm making – this has become such a popular show. You know what? I'm partnering with BetterHelp. I'm going to give these kids – I'm going to give these kids some therapy. Have therapists on site. Like, have a pod that's just a therapist pod, all right? Like,
yes.
From the get-go, you have a perfect setup, to be honest, because I think for some people, the partition might actually make them more comfortable.
Very
vulnerable.
Catholic.
Very Catholic, you know? But
it's all I can think when they're talking to each other in the pods.
I feel
like I'm in Sunday school a little right now.
Just a little bit. But yeah, I think ultimately this isn't for someone like AD, because I've been in that position. Not obviously I've not gotten close to the aisle, but like nonetheless, I think I, along with many women, and I'm sure like when you were dating people before Sean, like women in particular, we love a project. We love a project. And
I mean, I think it's because we're so trained to be like, well, girls mature faster than boys. And so you got to give them a break. You got to help them out. You got to do all this shit. And so you're so conditioned to helping a man grow. It's just a part of your life. Like, that's just your fucking task. That's just your chore. And she's extremely nurturing. And I wouldn't say he took advantage of it, but he definitely leaned on it heavily and maybe wasn't even aware of how much he was leaning on her for that. And I know it sucks, but he also did her a favor because it's not fucking sustainable for her emotionally.
I know. I was going to say, like, as much as I hate the point at which he did say no and say to her, like, this isn't going to work out. I cannot marry you. At least he did it. That's all I can say. And I'm just happy for her that she did not get married to this man, like, ultimately. And Timing could have been a little better. Timing just a little bit.
Shouldn't have chickened out of that conversation with her in the kitchen or like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or do they keep all these guys sequestered? Like, can Jimmy be like, yo, if you're having any doubts, you should just pull the plug. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, aren't they all in the same weird complex? Like, shoot a dude a text and tell him what's up. I don't know.
But they're definitely not in the same complex anymore. And that's another thing that's changed. Remember they used to put them all in like corporate housing and now they're living at each other's places this time around.
They had a mutual ground. They had those weird townhouses, but I think ended up moving into Clay's place so that she could be around him more because it was like harder for him to commute back to where they were or whatever. But like
Chelsea and
Jimmy were staying in that townhouse. That's why he was like,
yes,
bye, like stop screaming at me. And then Kenneth and Brittany were living in like that random townhouse too. So they all did. AD just moved into his place just so the commute issue would resolve itself.
That makes sense. I'd forgotten about that. Do we have anything else we want to cover in regards to AD and Clay?
Well, I guess the update. Did you see the video that was going around after the finale? It was Clay's sister, Taylor. She posted a video. I think it was like from Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. And Clay was in it and AD was in it. And everyone's like, oh, did they get back together? I don't know. I don't know anything. I just saw
that.
We'll
find out.
Yeah, exactly. Because in the reunion, he's saying, like, I made the biggest mistake of my life, like, saying no to her and, like, she's the love of my life, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I don't know if it's too little too late, but I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Well, speaking of videos, and then we'll go into Johnny and Amy very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jimmy, there's a video that surfaced of Jimmy and Chelsea out on vacation together too. So that's
It also looked like it could have been any time.
It could have been any time. I don't know. It could have been. But that's.
Yeah, I think the problem is like we just don't know when these videos are from because tons of people but like a lot of couples try after to make it work and then they break up regardless. Like fucking Izzy and Stacey last season.
Right.
They tried to get it didn't work. And then even Giannina, like you said, her and that weird guy, they tried to date a couple of times.
Darian?
That didn't work out.
Something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Like I give me the creeps.
I know, I didn't like it.
Damien,
that's his name, Damien. I knew it was like a Ditten name, but I didn't know like which one.
Yeah.
But speaking of other redheads, because if I recall correctly, he was a redhead.
Johnny. Yeah.
Johnny's more a strawberry. Doesn't say strawberry. I think he's more of like a
strawberry blonde. Yeah, that's what I would categorize him as. I mean, Johnny, I don't know what you really want to talk about. They get married.
Married. I mean, again, I love Amy's dad. So sweet. Like, just like really kind things. And I loved Johnny's parents were very nice, very New Jersey. I love that.
Yeah, you mentioned that they remind you of your in-laws. I think like
– not mine, but my sister.
Yeah, well, kind of like – I don't know. They're part of your family now technically through marriage. So I don't know. I'm calling them in-laws. Just like I call second cousins. We're all cousins. I'm not getting into it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But yeah, bullet points for me about Amy and Johnny. The funniest thing that happened with Amy was something that she wasn't even involved in, was AD asking her at the bachelorette party if her and Johnny have had sex yet. And she was like, well, I don't know. And then AD's drunk as fuck outside. And she's like, she's fucking that man. And just laughing at herself.
I took a picture of that just that with the subtitles. I was like.
And honestly, that's like the happiest I've seen AD this entire process.
Yes. Yes.
So that was the funniest part. And then the sweetest part was just how like. How naturally Johnny and Amy's families just like joined together. Like, yeah. You know, I think it was Johnny's brother had his arm around Amy's brother. Like, and Amy's brother was like fake cheersing with a cup. And I just thought it was very cute. And it's all very sweet. And it's all very wholesome. And they're going to be great. And yeah, there were no surprises.
No surprises.
Oh,
and yeah.
I do have a question for you. Somebody, yes. I don't know if I read it or if I heard on someone's podcast, but do you think Amy is a Disney adult? Somebody said they got that vibe from her. And I was like, I don't know, because there's a lot of princess talk, because she does say like a lot of princessy stuff. And I know it's like your wedding day and like your dad's going to call you a princess and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. Once they said that, I was like, oh, is she a Disney adult? Like, I don't really remember. I don't remember like her talking about like other princesses.
I am going on Instagram right now to see if she like, you know, comes up, and if it is like that she is that person. I don't know. I could see it. But then again, I say that about, you know, a lot of women in their 20s who are like bubbly, you know, like, oh, yeah, I guess they could be in a Disney adult. I don't know. It just like it didn't seem to be like a huge part of her personality, I guess. So I didn't really think anything about it. But like maybe yeah, I don't know. Now I'm curious. I'm trying to find her on Instagram. I think her name now is what, like Amy McIntyre, or she kept her maiden name.
Cortez. I think they're doing a hyphen thing. Cortez McIntyre.
Yeah, which also I was really happy to see. He was really cool about her having whatever, because, and the reason I say that is that like that should just be the bare minimum for any man. It's like if you're marrying someone, like let them have whatever name they want to have. But like, unfortunately, with this Love is Blind and reality world, a lot of times these guys are kind of patriarchal still in that sense. So, yeah, ultimately, I mean, I can't find her, but I'll be curious. I'm going to do a little research. I'll get back to you.
Just a question, you know, a query to ponder between now and the reunion, because I'm assuming we're going to come back and talk about the reunion.
Oh, we have to. Absolutely.
Probably not. Obviously not for as long, because, you know, we don't have like three episodes stacked. But hopefully some fun revelations will come.
Some fun tidbits. Yeah.
Do you have anything, like any burning question, like you want them to ask? Like if you could do like an Andy Cohen, like Emily from Oakland asks, like what would be your ask?
They did. As a matter of fact, I think you can. Or will they? It's too late now. But they had like a trailer.
I know, but I feel like they never – whatever. I wouldn't – I'm not listening to that. Because the Lachey's go rogue and ask their own dumbass question.
My question, and this is just based on the trailer for the reunion, I noticed that when they flashed to Laura, it was a video screen. It was not her in the room. And so my question is, why is she not in the room? Like what's happening?
My brain
there?
Went COVID. So make of that what you will.
Ah, I see.
Because she was still like, she was still dressed up and she was zooming in. So a part of me was like, that feels very COVID-coded to me.
That could be COVID-coded.
Okay, do you have a different question? Now that we potentially have figured that out.
A different question. Will they address everyone who's had like a cheating, or like this person had a girlfriend or fiance before the pods? Because they addressed it with Trevor in that preview. But I'm wondering, will they also ask Jeremy and anyone else who's had speculation?
Jimmy had a speculation, even though he came out and like said, no, that's not true, Ellen. But, you know, who knows?
Who knows? I'm curious. And then the other thing I am curious about, oh, will there be, because there's been the last few seasons, there's been usually like one couple that didn't get that, like, later got together after the pods and, like, obviously aren't on the show, or they just didn't want to film them or something like that. It's like, sometimes there are couples that got together later, and that,
yeah, but that didn't usually get much comes footage. Out like in a People exclusive or whatever.
That's true. But that was my one question, was like, would they talk about that if it had come out at that point? I don't know. Do you have any questions?
I mean, I really want to know about the girlfriend allegations. And yes. Then from Trevor, Jimmy, and Jeremy, I want to hear their bundle of lies. Very interested in hearing that. And then I think my other question would be to Clay to see if he started therapy. And then my third question would be to Chelsea and Jimmy about that video of them vacationing, if they like got together and then broke up, or like what's the tea there. So yeah, those would be my questions.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I really wish this reunion was coming out on Sunday. Like, to wait until Wednesday is so annoying.
I know.
Whatever.
I'm actually really surprised that they didn't do the Traitors thing where they dropped the finale and the reunion at the same time. I don't get why you wouldn't do that.
The drip is too much at this point. I think, like, it's becoming annoying. But I guess good on Netflix if they're getting those numbers up. Lord knows they need it.
You think that's what it's for?
I have to think because get this, Margo, like, they started premiering in February, they're ending in March, which means you would have had to buy 2 months of a Netflix subscription if you were buying a subscription. So I have a feeling they did this on purpose.
You're so right.
Corporate mind, corporate girly.
That's very like Laura of you to like put the fucking pieces together. But that makes total sense because they hook you with the 6 episodes and they drag out the rest, which makes so much sense.
Exactly.
So smart.
Wicked smart. We are going to be back, as we mentioned earlier. We will get together and record an episode to recap this very, very, very exciting, crazy, whatever we get out of this type of reunion. But you can find us here. In the meantime, though, if you want to listen to other episodes or other recaps that we did around Love is Blind, you can find that anywhere you stream podcasts. So that's Apple Podcasts, that's Spotify, anywhere really. In the meantime, we love to post things on our social media. We have an Instagram page that I just post today, a picture of the First Wives Club for International Women's Day. And then we also celebrated the 25th anniversary of Cruel Intentions this week. So I posted a video of that. And
I celebrated it by rewatching it. And it's such a delight if you have not watched it recently. Yeah, I was thinking
about doing that tonight.
I sound a little under the weather, so I've been like fighting off a cold all week. And on Wednesday, I decided to work from couch and like put on a comfort movie in the background. And I put on Cruel Intentions and I forgot how fucking good it is.
It's a really good movie.
And then someone knocked at our door and I was like, ugh, I don't really want to answer it. And then I realized that I had the blinds down. You could fully see me watching Cruel Intentions. I was like, well, I guess I got to answer the door now. But yes, this is your reminder. Cruel Intentions, streaming on Prime. Recommend it if you haven't seen it. Great. If you haven't seen it in a while, it's a lot funnier than I remember it to be.
It is very funny of a film, and like everyone, I mean, it's just a who's who of the teen 20-something actors of the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. But everyone's great. Everyone is great. I did just watch Selma Blair's documentary about her MS diagnosis a couple of weeks ago. It was very sad, but like she's just – you forget how like she never got to be – she was always best friend or like preppy girl or like, you know, kind of dumb girl in movies. But she plays so well. Like Cruel Intentions, she's great as Cecile. Like she's fantastic.
Anyway. I mean, all-star performances by everybody.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes.
You know – follow our Instagram to see that reel, but you know, also make sure you watch
Cruel Intentions. But yeah, you can find us at the Old Millennials Pod. We're also on Facebook. And like I said, we'll be back for another recap. But until next time, we say bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.